Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, folks. Hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday season. We certainly did. Ate a lot of food, got to spend some great time with family, spend some time just with the immediate family, and got all the Christmas decorations up. So a lot accomplished this weekend. Hopefully you were able to do the same. We've got a great show lined up for you today. So much to talk about in so little time. We'll visit with Guy Williams, president of Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. One of the issues we'll talk about is why your flying experience is so different today than at other times. We'll also talk to Mark Hamrick, Washington Bureau Chief and Senior Economic Analyst for Bankrate.com, about people saving money, putting aside money in their IRA, those that are expecting to rely solely on Social Security benefits when they retire. What are their concerns? What are their feelings? We'll talk about that. At 11 o'clock, Laura Rodri, co-founder of Bayou Mama Bears, former Orleans prosecutor, about Amendment 1. You'll be voting on that on December the 7th. Which expands the Judiciary Commission, expands some of the authority of the Supreme Court as well as it relates to disciplinary investigations of judges. We had Judge Robin Geruso, former Judge Robin Geruso, and former Judiciary Commission member Robin Geruso last week on one side of the issue saying this is unnecessary, and this is the other side of the issue with Laura Rodrigue. I guess everybody by now knows what President Joe Biden did last evening. So I thought it was important that I read Joe Biden, the president's statement, as his reasoning behind the pardoning of his son. And he says, "Today I signed a pardon for my son, Hunter. From the day I took office, I said I would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision making. And I kept my word, even as I watched my son being selectively and unfairly prosecuted. Without aggravating factors like use in a crime, multiple purchases, or buying a weapon as a straw purchaser, people are almost never brought to trial on felony charges solely for how they filled out a gun form. Those who were late paying their taxes because of serious addictions, but paid them back subsequently with interest and penalties, are typically given non-criminal resolutions. It is clear that Hunter was treated differently. The charges in his cases came about only after several of my political opponents in Congress instigated them to attack me and oppose my election. Then a carefully negotiated plea deal agreed to by the Department of Justice unraveled in the courtroom, with a number of my political opponents in Congress taking credit for bringing political pressure on the process. Had the plea deal held, it would have been a fair, reasonable resolution of Hunter's cases. No reasonable person who looks at the facts of Hunter's cases can reach any other conclusion than Hunter was singled out only because he is my son, and that is wrong. There's been an effort to break Hunter, who has been 5.5 years sober, even in the face of unrelenting attacks and selective prosecution. In trying to break Hunter, they've tried to break me. And there's no reason to believe it will stop here. Enough is enough. For my entire career, I have followed a simple principle. Just tell the American people the truth, they'll be fair-minded. Here's the truth. I believe in the justice system, but as I have wrestled with this, I also believe raw politics has infected this process, and it led to a miscarriage of justice. And once I made this decision this weekend, there was no sense in delaying it further. I hope Americans will understand why a father and a president would come to this decision. That was his comments to the citizens of the United States of America. His executive grant of clemency reads as follows. Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States of America, to all whom these presents shall come, greeting. Be it known that this day, I, Joseph R. Biden, Jr., President of the United States, pursuant to my powers under Article 2, Section 2, Clause 1 of the Constitution, have granted unto Robert Hunter Biden a full and unconditional pardon for those offenses against the United States which he has committed or may have committed or taken part in during the period from January 1, 2014 through December 1, 2024, including but not limited to all offenses charged or prosecuted, including any that have resulted in convictions by Special Counsel David C. Weiss in docket number whatever, in the United States District Court for the District of Delaware and docket number whatever, in the United States District Court for the Central District of California. In testimony whereof, I have hereunto signed my name and caused a pardon to be recorded with the Department of Justice, done at the City of Washington this first day of December in the year of our Lord, 2024, and of the independence of the United States, the 249th. And there it is. In spite of at least 10 different occasions where President Joe Biden said that he had no intention to pardon his son, he was repeatedly asked, and his folks at the White House briefing, Corinne Jean-Pierre, even began to start mocking reporters for asking the question as the flavor of the allegations and ultimate trial and the pleading of guilty and the finding of guilty in these charges in multiple courts across this country, continued to tell the public, you, me, and everyone else, that he had no intention of pardoning his son. Then the election, well, you know, he was removed from the Democratic ticket. And then the election was had, and obviously whatever understanding that he had with Kamala Harris can't come to fruition because she didn't win. Donald Trump gets elected, and now we have a problem. And the problem is, you know, everybody knew what the eventuality of this was going to be. It was no big surprise. Everyone recognized that he was lying. And that if the situation turned out the way that he did, that he was going to be compelled to do something. But he, even after the election, they continued to say they would not pardon his son. So where are we at this point in time? It's very interesting. You know, while he was the candidate, and he makes these comments of the rule of law and that no one's above the law and that he will not pardon his son, he compelled all of his Democrat sycophants, a lot of whom are sitting behind desks in major media markets across this country, pontificating about the moral clarity of this individual, the stark contrast between Joe Biden and Donald Trump, the fact that he believed in the rule of law, and that the Democratic Party was all about the rule of law. And that Joe Biden really, deep down, in his heart of hearts, did not believe that this private relief that he could avail himself of by being the president for his own family, that he couldn't come to grips with doing that because of that moral, that very moral clarity. And that he did not believe that he had the right to do it, even though he was staring the law in its face that granted him that authority to do so. He said, and many of the same folks were saying that basically what he was saying is that he would sacrifice the future of his son's life. Think about all that has been said. I wonder what these people are going to say this morning. I was kind of flipping through the channels, hoping that some of them would appear this morning, trying to explain away all of the incredible words that they had to say about the moral clarity of this individual, about the sacrifices that he was going to make, understanding that he was not going to put himself ahead of the country, that he would not put his family ahead of the country or the rule of law. It just would not happen. He has stood on principle his entire career, and this was not going to happen. And everyone took it hook, line, and sinker, went off and running, and talked about how this man, as a result of that moment, from the first day that he made that comment, was going to be one of the most consequential presidents in the history of our country. In fact, some even listed and said he would be the eighth most consequential president in the history of the country. And it went on and it went on and it went on, talking about the stark contrast. Well, you know what's very interesting about this letter, as I read it probably five or six times last evening and this morning, is a lot of what the Democrats have said about Donald Trump as to his view of the justice system and selective prosecution and what he has complained of, that it's amazing that, not unlike the election of Kamala Harris to be president and the positions of Donald Trump, you will recall many weeks ago, right before the election, I said, how are we breaking this country apart? It's almost as if we're moving closer and closer together on these issues. It was amazing that Kamala Harris was actually embracing stricter border enforcement, reestablishing detention centers, questioning people about asylum. And on the issue of EVs and alternative energy, now we're for fracking. Before, absolutely not. That was the sin of all sins. And it was amazing how everything came together. Well, this is the culmination of all of that, right? President Joe Biden embraced the Donald Trump dialogue and has said now that his Department of Justice was guilty of selective prosecution, and that his Department of Justice caused there to be an unfair treatment of his son, and that his Department of Justice fell prey to Republican political pressure, which compelled them to do what they did. This was the same man that had promised an independent Department of Justice and bragged for years about how they have accomplished same. It was one of the primary reasons for the appointment of Merrick Garland, that he was going to restore the independence of the Department of Justice in the aftermath of those horrible years of Donald Trump in his first term. And it's amazing how in a short period of time, and of course the indictment and pleading of guilty and conviction of his son, that now this same Department of Justice that he bragged about for so long now falls into the same category as has been articulated by Donald Trump. And this is where we find ourselves. But is this really about saving Hunter Biden? Or is this more about saving his own skin? It will be interesting to see whether or not there's going to be any continuation into the looking of the $27 million that the Biden family received from foreign countries, the gift of automobiles, the gift of diamonds, the fact that Joe Biden said he never met with any of Hunter's clients. He really didn't know what Hunter was doing. They never had conversations or otherwise. Whether or not any of that is going to continue to be investigated. And you will remember that Joe Biden said about that, not only that he would never pardon his son, that he didn't know about any of these other things, right? And these $27 million in payments just so happened to be, yeah, you got it, within that same time period of the pardon, between 2014 and 2019. So we have absolved Hunter from not registering as a foreign agent. We have allowed him to get off for the receipt of $27 million in payments from foreign sources and his business associates. We've now allowed him to be able to not be subjected to any of this coming out in the future about the relationship between him, them, and his father. In spite of the fact of Joe Biden saying he didn't know about any of this, we now know that there were phone calls. We now know that there were emails. We now know that there were dinners where Joe Biden set up. And there's a great article, actually, by both James Lynch and Jonathan Turley outlining all of this that we actually have come to know about Joe Biden and his lies. And it's been one lie after the next, after the next. But the interesting thing here is that Joe Biden specifically talks about this plea deal. And that is really, when I read that, I was like, what are we talking about? It wasn't members of Congress that blew up the plea deal. It was a federal judge. It was a federal judge who basically asked the question, what is this? Wasn't political pressure, as was pointed out by the New York Times author David Barrett in an article, where he said the judge scuppered Hunter Biden's plea deal, not political pressure. The judge simply asked about the construction of this plea deal for Hunter Biden and this agreement. And when she did, they could not come up with a rational explanation as to what it was that they were actually trying to do, because they knew that it violated, as he points out in his article, one of the basic tenets of federal guilty pleas, that any agreement not have any other side deals that are going on. And it was just this basic questioning from the judge that, as pointed out in the article, it embarrassed the prosecutors as well as the defense lawyers who negotiated. They didn't know what to do with it. They thought the fix was in. Everything was copacetic, hunky-dory. It was going to go through as a matter of course. This is the president's son, for Christ's sake. And no questions would be asked. Well, when that fell apart, not because of, as the president points out, political pressure, simply a federal judge appointed for life asking a couple of questions and asking for an explanation of what is it that are we trying to really accomplish here. And we can only imagine the look on their face, right? Because they weren't able to explain it. And it fell by the wayside. And that's when the house of cards tumbled. Not because of Republican members of Congress, but because of a federal judge, an independent federal judge, that simply asked a few questions. And judicial pundits on both sides said, surprisingly, they were of the same thought, that these were legitimate questions. These weren't really questions out of the park, out of the realm. These were legitimate questions because they ran counter to the manner in which the Department of Justice typically handled these kinds of deals. So on the one hand, he's talking about this selective prosecution. On the other hand, he fails to mention any of the insider dealing that was going on in trying to get favorable treatment. Oh, and by the way, none of this comes to really the forefront by anything that Congress did, right? No. There were a couple of these whistleblower people, right, that had worked on this case for a long time. Actually, the case actually started while Trump was in president, but it had never been revealed that the case was underway, which is typically how it works in the DOJ. They don't talk about it. They're lurking in the shadows. They're going about piecing this thing together, following the evidence. That's what they did. But when it got revealed, all of a sudden there started to be some interesting twists and turns and this and explanations and three steps back, one step forward. So much deflection, so much evasion, that it wasn't until there was a counterattack, otherwise known as whistleblowers, who said, you may want to know what's going on because they're trying to steer this investigation in a way. They're trying to diminish the investigation. They're trying to handcuff us as it relates to documents that we have requested, information that we are looking for, to either discount or validate our suspicions based on what we've uncovered thus far. Which is, my estimation, pretty much how these investigations go all the time. I've actually worked with them in so doing in my career on many task forces, multi-state investigations, multi-jurisdiction, multinational, insurance investigation. That's how it works. But all of a sudden, because it is the president's son, what this president has decided to do is throw his own party under the bus, throw his independent Department of Justice under the bus, and try to blame everybody else for the failures of his son, who walked into a court on some of these charges and pled guilty and admitted to knowing that he did what they said that he did, and he was wrong. This president would have you believe that this has happened to no one else. Hunter's the only one. And that's why it's selective prosecution. Because he's the only one that's ever faced the reach of the federal government, of the federal criminal prosecution, of the U.S. Attorney's Office for non-payment of taxes. The only one. And for that reason is why he feels compelled to take the action that he did. I really want to hear from you what your thoughts are. 504-260-1870 on the Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. We'll go to the lines when we come back. This is Newell on WWL. Welcome back, folks. So what are your thoughts about this pardon, about him saying, the president, that is, he would not interfere with the Justice Department's decision-making? And he said he has kept his word. But if you grant a full pardon, isn't that what you were doing? You're interfering? Sure, certainly the justice system's decision-making and you allowing the system to proceed. But as one writer points out, knowing that you had that full pardon in your back pocket the entire time, you said at least 10 times you wouldn't exercise it, and then you did. Let's go to Mike. Mike, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Newell. Thanks for taking my call. And first and foremost, happy Thanksgiving. Hope that you and your family had a nice Thanksgiving holiday.
And the same to you.
So So thank you. So I think that there's more to this. I think that in many ways, it's Joe Biden giving the middle finger to his party and saying, you know what, you guys did what you did to me, and so I'm going to use every measure I can to repay that. But I also think it is so reflective of not only this party, but of his presidency. And, you know, Noel, I've called you in the past. I'm retired from state government. Nothing's perfect. And I had the honor and the privilege of working for both a Republican governor and a Democrat governor. There's problems across the board in politics in both parties. But this just really sets an entirely new precedent for me. Think about every person, you and I mean, and you're a former sheriff. We would be, you know, as my late mother would say, we'd be under the jail cell for this. And once again, we see that money and privilege and prestige and status, they get a pass, Noel. And I think this is what the normal average American is tired of. And that's why we voted the way we did most recently. And I think the country heard it loud and clear. We're tired of this foolishness. And it's just really, really sad. It's sad. And, you know, Newell, I say this to my children all the time. My wife is a school teacher. She works endless hours. You know it. I mean, they're not well paid in Louisiana. You know, we work hard to raise a family, to pay bills, to pay a mortgage. And I tell this to my kids all the time. Look, when these people wake up, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, what they face in their day is not even close to what we're thinking about. You know, I've got that mortgage payment, or I've got that big medical bill to pay, or am I going to get that bonus check? Am I going to have enough to have a nice holiday for my family? And it just proves once again that privilege in these cases, it wins, Newell, and it's sickening. It really is, because it's on our backs. It's on our hard work.
Mike, let me ask you something, because I'm getting a lot of texts, and folks are saying, this most recent text, I'm a Republican, but I'm also a father. I know it's a big abuse of power, but if I was in Biden's situation, I'm pretty sure I would have done the same thing. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. I understand the conflict, right? And I think most people would be dishonest if they didn't. But what my thought process is that own it. Why lie about it? Why wait till the very end of your administration? You were the beneficiary while you were running for office by saying, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to pardon him. He was the one that answered the question. No one put a gun to his head. He's the one that offered up. He's the one that was the beneficiary of everybody saying that this was the bastion of the Democratic Party, right? That this man understands and appreciates the rule of law. He has provided moral clarity to the United States and the world by taking this position. I don't disagree with folks. I think all along he knew he was going to pardon his son. If it didn't turn out the way that he hoped it would, he was pardoning his son.
No,
but just own it.
I agree with
Say
you.
It. Say and it from day one. Just, if he's convicted, yeah. I, as a father, will exercise a pardon for my son. He didn't, because he knew that the political fallout would destroy him and that he would be destroyed. He made that. In fact, it is a breakdown in the moral compass to do what he did. And I think folks are not quite connecting these dots, you know, because he was a beneficiary of all of the most incredible things that people said about his leadership and him standing up for the justice system and the rule of law, all the while knowing, I'm pardoning my son. He ain't going to jail. That's my point.
Newell, I agree. I agree with you. And Newell, you said something that brings a smile to my face, because I say this to my 24-year-old and my 19-year-old all the time. You're going to make mistakes. We're going to do the wrong thing. We're human. We're fallible. Yeah. Own it. Just own it.
Yeah. It's nobody else's fault. It's not like he didn't do these things. He went into court and pled guilty. But now we're going to complain about, I guess, getting caught. I don't know. Or he's going to complain about that he has an addictive disorder. He's going to complain about purchasing prostitute after prostitute after prostitute and putting it on video and then sharing it with the world. I mean, these are things that you're going to complain about now? I don't get that. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate the call. Got to get to a break. When we come back, John will be up first. Give us a shout, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and text line. Stay with us. Talking about your thoughts of Biden pardoning his son. A lot of texts coming in, a lot of different opinions. Let's go to John. John, you're up. What say you?
Hey, the Joe Biden apologists need to understand this is the most far-reaching, comprehensive pardon in the history of presidential pardons. It even surpasses Nixon, because that was only for 6 years of crime. Hunter Biden could have committed a federally charged murder in that 11-year time period, and he cannot be charged with it now. And that may be a problem for Joe and his brother, because any monies that are investigated that went to Joe or his brother, they can now compel Hunter Biden to testify. He does not need immunity. He cannot be charged. He cannot plead the Fifth. And he can be held in contempt or charged with perjury, because you cannot pardon one for future crimes. That is right before Hunter Biden got appointed to the board of Burisma in the Ukraine. Do you think that 10-year, 10-month time period is accidental?
No, I don't believe in coincidence at all. But that's the maximum, I think, that the president can go back.
No, it's unlimited. It's unlimited.
Is it unlimited?
Civil War.
Sure.
You could go back. There's a precedent after the Civil War that says those powers, except for impeachment, are unfettered.
Okay. I was not aware of that. I thought there was some kind of limitation. Okay. But it makes it very interesting, like you said. You know, when all of this started with his getting on the board of Burisma, we're going back 10 years covering all of that in that period of time, free and clear of anything that he ever did, thought about otherwise. Done. You're right. It's pretty far-reaching. Thank you, John. Let's go to Pierre. Pierre, you're up. What say you?
Hey, Noel. The president can pardon federal crimes, but he can't pardon state crimes. And so
Correct.
It's possible that Hunter sometime, somewhere, may have committed an offense. The question is, who's going to prosecute him for it? But the other point I want to make is this. How does this change the conversation if and when President Trump pardons January 6th prisoners? Now, the president doesn't have to issue a full pardon. He can do a limited pardon or clemency. He can relieve penalties, shorten sentences, but leave the convictions in place. So there's a lot that the president can do. But if Trump wades into the January 6th pardon issue, it's going to be interesting to see what Democrat opposition or argument there is there.
Yeah, I mean, the way that he constructed this, basically, if you're involved in politics, you are legitimate in doing whatever you want for yourself, your family, friends, associates, or whatever, because you just blame the other side for pushing the issue, trying to embarrass you. I mean, he even said in his statement, those who were late paying their taxes because of serious addictions, but paid them back subsequently, of course, that was after they were caught, with interest and penalties, are typically given non-criminal resolutions. They pay that back because they hope for leniency, right? But there's no question that there are people that face criminal sanctions as opposed to civil sanctions. And what the president is basically saying here, that if you have an addiction, you should take the least offensive path to the offender because of that addiction. I'm not so sure that there are any U.S. attorneys across this country that buy into that notion and have never violated that notion. I mean, I know the last five or six here have. I mean, so It'll be interesting. You know, it's amazing when you start with the spin, what you will do and what extent you'll go to. And it's just exactly, as I said earlier, and I think you're saying too, perpetuating a lie. Go ahead, Pierre. Thank you, Pierre. Appreciate the call. Let's go to Danny. Danny, you're up. What say you?
No, I'm kind of disappointed because you're jumping at the bits to cut Biden up about this pardon his son, where Trump just nominated a convicted felon that he pardoned to be an FBI director. Where's our ethics? You ought to be chomping the bits about why.
I don't think he pardoned the guy Kash Patel to be the FBI director. No, I think you have your facts wrong.
Well, he's still a convicted felon.
No, he's not.
You ought to be.
No, he's not.
Because he pardoned him. Listen.
No, you're conflating folks. Okay. He appointed Jared Kushner's father to be a position with Arab Middle Eastern Affairs, who he pardoned last year.
Okay, I may be wrong.
I mean, last term.
Why are you not against him being above the law? A judge in Florida saved him. Our own Supreme Court has bail this man out, and you just let it slide by.
Well, how's he above the law if a judge ruled a certain way?
Because
I don't understand. I mean, there were a lot of evidentiary rulings in the Hunter Biden case that worked to his favor. That doesn't mean he was above the law because they worked to his favor. That's how the judicial system works. But he went in and pled guilty. And now he's been fully pardoned, and now we want to blame Republicans for this, putting pressure on the alleged independent Department of Justice under Joe Biden, and that's the guilty party. That's the reason all of this is happening, because Republicans put the pressure on Joe Biden's Department of Justice to selectively prosecute Hunter Biden for tax evasion and gun violations. Really? Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that that's what actually happened here? We know what all of the timeline, provided. We know about whistleblowers that said, hey, they're trying to have this go away. You may want to look at it. You may want to look at this. You may want to look at this. This is the evidence that we had, and they want everybody to look the other way. They're actually standing in the way of us investigating this. You think that's right? You think that's good? And now they're trying to punish those very whistleblowers. Really? I mean, and we're just going to look past all of that? And now it just so happens that we're going to absolve Hunter Biden for 10 years of criminality. Even stuff we don't know about that he may have done. And by the way, I don't think he was ever prosecuted for what he did with drug dealing, right? At all. And we wonder whether or not there's a privilege. I don't know. You tell me. We'll be right back. Can't wait to hear from those that provided all of the adulations for President Joe Biden when he said he would not pardon his son. When we come back, we'll hear from Laura Rodrigue, co-founder of Bayou Mama Bears, former Orleans prosecutor, on Amendment Number 1 that you will decide on December 7th. We'll be right back. Stay with us.